Outstanding student debt is up to $1.2 trillion, a jump of $100 billion from a year ago. This week, U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren said the ballooning debt was unacceptable and proposed a bill to allow students to refinance at low government-subsidized rates. But there's a small group of students who don't want refinancing. They don't want to pay at all because, for one thing, they say they weren't educated. 15 students who attended the for-profit Corinthian Colleges, the world's largest for-profit system of schools, until just over a year ago when it was targeted by multiple lawsuits, including several by state attorneys general. Last summer, the Department of Education forced Corinthian to sell off 85 schools and close a dozen. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and the Department of Ed have since secured $480 million in debt relief for Corinthian students, but only for private loans, not federal ones. Mallory Heine is one of the so-called Corinthian 15. She enrolled in the Corinthian-owned Everest Institute in 2013. She joins us from the studios of WDET in Detroit. Mallory, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And also joining us, Laura Hanna, part of the Debt Collective. That's a group providing debt strikers pro bono legal advice, financial literacy counseling, and is also helping them launch their legal action. Laura, welcome to you as well.
Thank you for having me.
And Mallory, as we said, Corinthian's already being sued by the Attorney General of California, the Attorney General of Massachusetts, claiming that the company pressured students into signing up for loans, misled them about their graduation prospects. What happened to you when you signed up for school?
What happened with me is I was pretty eager to go to school. I just got back from Africa, and I've kind of gained my passion for nursing, and I was ready, you know, I was ready to get through school and then, you know, get back on the mission field and start up a clinic in Africa with a nursing degree. So I was extremely passionate and I wanted to get my education. I wanted to get it quickly. And so I got referred to Everest Institute in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
And did you feel that pressure to sign up for loans? And what did they tell you about your prospects after graduation?
Absolutely. It was like a feeding frenzy when I walked in there, because as soon as I walked in, it was, you know, big smiles and, you know, rushing through this process and this huge, like, one-inch stack of paperwork. And just as I was inquiring about the school, you know, it was, well, why don't we just start on the paperwork? Why don't you just sign here and sign here and sign here? And then afterwards, you know, when you come back, then you'll already have it done. It'll be great. It'll be fine. I felt kind of vulnerable, but at the same time, they're laying down these statistics in front of me saying like 98% job placement within the next year and all of these possibilities that just seem fantastic, you know, at the time when they're presenting them to you. And they kind of played off the fact that I was interested in getting done quickly and didn't really give me straightforward information.
Well, you have debt now, but do you have a job?
I just finally got a part-time job, and sometimes it's kind of as I can get hours. So I'm blessed to at least say that I got that.
But you have said that only after you explained to your future employer, part-time employer, why the school didn't reflect what you really knew. Is the reputation of the school preceding you?
Well, absolutely, because this is no secret about all of these allegations and all of these lawsuits coming against Corinthians and Everest. Because they're being shut down for all of these things, obviously they're not being looked at as like a credible institution.
So you feel that the school definitely didn't give you the credentials that it promised. But as to the debt, some would say there's a buyer beware when you take out loans. This is a mix of private and federal loans, if I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've joined this debt strike. Why should the average college grad who's paying back thousands in debt, why should they sympathize with you? I mean, they're paying back theirs.
Specifically with the Corinthian situation, if I was given what I signed up for, yeah, the price was hefty, and hindsight is always 20/20. But if I made a commitment to the school to pay this back, and they also made a commitment to me, everything would be abided by. I would be fine with that. I'm not looking for a handout. I'm looking to go by my word, what I said. But like if you have a contract between two individuals, if one voids the contract, the other is not obligated to come through with their part. So why is it any different with a multi-million dollar corporation and me, one individual?
Laura Hanna, let me bring you in again with the Debt Collective. Why is it different? It was a good question. Why, if she didn't get the schooling and the school is now collapsed. Why does she have to pay it back?
The reason why Mallory and others and Corinthian students, the Department of Education is saying that they need to pay these loans back, their federal loans, it's that the taxpayer will have to pay such a large amount of debt that they can't possibly forgive it because it would cost the taxpayer too much. And our argument is the taxpayer already paid once. This was taxpayer dollars in the form of federal loan subsidies. And the responsible actor should pay, which primary investors are Wells Fargo. And other people who actually made that money need to pay this back.
You mean the investors in the schools?
Yes.
Yeah. So places like Wells Fargo were investing in these for-profit schools. If the loans are coming from the Department of Education to the students and the students are being asked to pay it back, how are the for-profit schools making money off of that?
When the Department of Education issues a loan, the federal loan subsidy, it goes directly to the school. And then the student signs up for a contract of repayment over time. So one arm of the government, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, is investigating and suing Corinthian and its private lending scheme, Genesis, while the other arm, the Department of Education, continues to prop it up.
In the meantime, what about you, Mallory? You're not paying loans. The interest is being racked up. Your credit rating must be affected.
That's one of the repercussions. But the fact is, like, how I think about it is, you know, I look back into history and I think about these movements, civil rights movement, the women's right movement. You have just a couple passionate individuals standing up for something that's right. And I've also heard so many stories of these people who have been just taken by this institution. And if you're not putting the priorities of these students ahead of the profit, then what are you doing?
So let's describe what's going on here. So according to Corinthian documents, their target demographic is composed of isolated, impatient individuals with low self-esteem who have few people in their lives who care about them and who are stuck and unable to see and plan well for the future. So this is really aggressive recruiting tactics. They've also focused on families who make less than $10,000 a year. And there's a huge focus on low-income families and communities of color.
Well, and what do you think will happen? Do you think the Department of Education, and they've been quoted as saying they don't want to set a precedent here to inspire other students who've gone to other failing institutions to seek loan forgiveness. But do you think that some of this debt will be forgiven?
Our current work with the larger Corinthian Collective is focusing on defense to repayment. That is our legal strategy. Mm-hmm. And it's a dispute letter that describes how the school broke state laws. It would be different for each state, of mm-hmm. course, but they broke state laws by engaging in predatory lending and fraud. And examples of those would be lying about job placement stats, lying about services that they would provide, saying that they would provide job placement help, and providing students with Craigslist ads instead, pressuring people with their private lending scheme. Their private loans were twice as expensive. Their interest was twice as expensive as the normal student loan. Hmm. So all of these things are against the law. They're documented along with aggressive recruiting tactics. They would pay companies for one day of employment so that they can continue to get the federal loan subsidy.
Yeah. In other words, pay companies to employ students for one day?
Correct.
Yeah.
Or 1 week.
Well, Mallory, I understand that part of your defense, the legal defense, was laid out in a letter that a group of Democratic senators led by Elizabeth Warren wrote to the Education Secretary Arne Duncan. They say that the Department of Education has the power to cancel federal loans for students who attended institutions that violated their rights. Do you see this as a violation of your rights?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They broke the law, and it's stated in so many different places. There's obviously a common denominator here, and it's Corinthian.
Mallory Heine, one of the students, the Corinthian 15, a group of debt strikers refusing to pay back their federal student loans to a for-profit school that's gone under. Laura Hanna, a member of the debt collective that's helping them organize. Laura and Mallory, thank you.
Thank you.
And we reached out for a statement from the for-profit Corinthian colleges. They did not respond.